Praise God. You ready for the word this morning? Amen. I want you to turn to Psalm 46. And we're going to finish up a little bit on praise today. Isn't that amazing? And we've addressed the significance of praise for the last couple weeks, and that Yahweh inhabits the praises of his people. That's a good thing. He builds a mercy seat on our praise, and then he comes and sits in that mercy seat, and he speaks to us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we found out that praise is a foundation against our enemies, that it stills the avenger. We found out that genuine praise is both spontaneous and purposeful or intentional. You know, some people say, well, I don't like the spontaneous praise. Well, sometimes you just feel like praise the Lord. And other times you have to prepare yourself. You know, Lord, I'm going to enter your gates with thanksgiving and with praise. And it's like, I'm going to purpose myself to praise you. And that may be when I don't always feel like it. That may be in hard times. But it's like, Lord, I'm just going to praise you anyway. And so it's purposeful. It's intentional on our part. I will praise the Lord. And yet when we talk about all these things, I know there's still people that struggle with why. Why do we praise Yahweh? And I want to begin to give you a little bit different look at this in Psalm 46. And I'll come back here periodically, whether we'll turn to it or I'll just refer to it. I'm not sure yet. But in Psalm 46, the first three verses, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because he's a present help, therefore we won't fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And the reference there is, we still won't fear. No matter what goes on around me, we will not fear. Why? Simple reason, God is a present help in time of trouble. Amen? He is a present help. Now, what does that mean? Simply, that means God is going to be present with you right now. If you're going through trouble, God is present with you right now. So I don't feel like God's present. I know you never do when you're in trouble. I kind of hate the poem, but it's or the verse or whatever, but there's a lot of truth to it. It says, Jesus, you were walking with me, and we got to this trouble spot, and all of a sudden I couldn't feel your presence anymore. And then after I got through the trouble, you were back with me side by side. He says, what happened to you? Where were you in the midst of trouble? And Jesus says, turn around and look where you walked. And they turn around and they look on the seashore, and they realize that when the time of trouble, it drops down from two sets of footprints in the sand to just one. And then when the time of trouble is over, it goes back to two sets of footprints. And the person asks Jesus, well, how come there's only one in the time of trouble? He said, that's when I carried you. There are times in our life when God carries us, and a lot of times we're not aware of that till you are out of the problem, and you begin to realize that God was with me in that time. God was a very present help in time of trouble, but we don't often realize that. Well, I want to propose to you today that that one of the reasons that we praise God is because he is a present help. Now, the only way he can be a present help is he's present with us. If God's not present with us, he can't be a present help. Now this is talking about, this psalm is talking about in the midst of the hard times, in the midst of the difficult times, in the midst of times when the mountains quake, the foundations seem to almost disappear, God is a present help in time of trouble. I'll refer to Romans chapter 10. You can turn there if you want. Romans chapter 10, verses 6, 7, and 8. And Paul is speaking about the righteousness of faith. And he says, the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? See, now you've got to understand, faith speaks. But faith does not say in the midst of trouble, God, where are you? Who's going to come and get you? Who's going to go up to heaven if you're in heaven and bring you down? Who's going to go down to the depths and bring you up to me? God, who is going to? Faith doesn't talk that way. And that's what Paul's trying to tell us. Faith speaks, but faith doesn't moan and groan in time of trouble. Well, what does faith say? Because when you're in time of trouble, you feel like moaning, don't you? You feel like having a pity party, don't you? If you say no, you're a liar. I mean, you just, you know, it's like, Lord, I feel bad and I want everybody to know how bad I feel. isn't it? I mean, I want to share my wealth of sadness. I want to feel my sorrow, share my sorrow, share my pain, you know, on all these things. But faith does not speak that way. But what does faith say? Well, Paul says in Romans 10:8, faith says the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. In other words, the Lord is a present help in time of trouble. The Lord is with me. He will not abandon me. He will not forsake me. He will not leave me. But God is with me. Yahweh is not distant. He's not far away that we've got to go and get him. And God, please, 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 God, come to me. That's not the God that we serve. That's not the God that we know. The reason we praise Yahweh is because he is present. Now, when you think about it, when you got born again, did you have to ask God into your heart and pray that someone would find him and bring him to you? When you prayed and asked Jesus in your heart, he was right beside you. He was waiting for you. He's working with you to get you to open up and let him in. Now let me add to this a little bit. Where is God when you need healing? God doesn't change, does he? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God is present with us. But I don't often feel that presence. But it doesn't change God's location. Now, if I'm an unbeliever and God is working with me and present with me when I ask him into my heart, do you think he is closer or more distant to a believer? Closer. Because now he's in us. He was with us. Now he's in us, amen, born again, filled with the glory of God. Born again, I like the Bible says we are born again by the glory that raised Jesus from the dead. Wow. So the same glory that raised him from the dead is living and working in me, amen. But if I don't realize how present God is, then how can I get the benefits of that? If I think that God is distant from me, if God is someplace that I've got to beg and cry and plead to get God to pay attention to me, well, how can I have faith that God is a present help in time of trouble if I don't believe he's present? If I don't believe he's with me, how can I call on his name? You know, that's why some people, well, I've got to go to church so I can find God. And Jesus is sitting there saying, well, okay, I'll meet him in church, but I'd meet him now if they just wanted me to. You know, God's with us. And we need to understand that and get that down on the inside of it. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. You know, Jesus, to illustrate how close Jesus is to us, Jesus told Thomas after the resurrection, because he's still kind of doubting, still kind of wondering whether Jesus, you know, how close he is, if this is really him. Jesus tells Thomas, he says, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. He says, touch me. See if I'm not real. And that's what God is saying to a lot of us. Try me in this. Put me to the test. Now, I love it. God says that about tithing. He says, put me to the test and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. Try me in this. A lot of people, I can't give. I don't have enough money to give. And God says, try me. Try me. Give to me, tithe to me, and see if I'll open up the windows of heaven. Put me to the test. And the people that I know that have done that just simply to see if God is genuine, it works. It works. We've had people that say, I have more money than I've ever had before. I said, well, why is it? I started tithing. In other words, they started giving more to the Lord and they wound up with more money. Because God increases to you. Amen? That's what he's talking about. Have you found 1 John? 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He starts out, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. I like that word, which our hands have handled. We look at Thomas. Thomas had so much unbelief that he had to touch Jesus. Well, actually, when you read the story, Thomas never touched Jesus. We talk about doubting Thomas. Thomas said, oh, my Lord, my Savior. He just went to his knees. Oh, my Lord, my Savior. I don't need to touch you. I just couldn't believe what other people said. But then Peter's going to feel them out. He's like, okay, yeah, you got holes in your hands? Yeah, ooh, there's a big hole in your side there where they stuck you with the spear. I saw that. It's like, this is him. And John obviously handled him because he said, we handled him. They touched him. I mean, what do you do if someone would come back from the dead? Do you think you'd hug him? Maybe. Maybe. You might just, Jesus, I'm so glad to see you, and just hug him. They touched him. I mean, these people are not talking about an apparition. They're not talking about something that they want to believe in. They're talking about reality here. He says, we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He says, he's trying to say, we have such a relationship with God that we know He's present. Well, how do you know He's present? Well, we've seen Him. We've heard Him. We felt Him. We've handled Him. I want to tell you, He's alive. Yeah, but how do you know? We saw Him. We heard Him. We handled Him. Yeah, but isn't He dead? Or somebody might say, well, isn't he in heaven? I said, yeah, He's in heaven, but He's present. He's not in a distant place. He's not somewhere where we've got to go and try to get Him. Paul even knew this. When Jesus appeared to him on the highway, Paul knew, man, Jesus is nearby. If I mess up, He's standing there right next to me. If I do good, He's standing there right next to me. I mean, He's present help in time of trouble. David knew this. Or whoever wrote that Psalm 46, they knew that God is a present help in a time of trouble. Amen? He says, but this is the present. This is what faith says. God is with you. I don't have to go to try to force God to pay attention to me. I don't have to try to appease Him to get His approval. God is with me. Now, the interesting thing is, theology tries to keep God at a distance. When you start getting into theology and you start getting into all these things, well, brother, let me tell you, you've got to do this and this and that and this and this other thing here, and then maybe God will show up. But you never know what God's going to do. But faith says the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith that we preach. It says, faith says, God's present with me. Theology says, well, you never know what God's going to do. Now, can you see the difference in that? If I'm believing God, He's with me. We were talking about it in Sunday school. Debbie closed this, and she said, God will give you anything you ask for. Well, brother, I don't know about that. Was that theology? See, your theology will delay things. Your theology will say, well, I've got to get to 65 before this will happen for me. That's theology. God's a present help in time of trouble. He's with me now. Let me give you another example of that. I want to try to drive this home. Jesus said one day, because see, faith knows that God is present. That might be a thing that you need to think about. Theology keeps Him distant, but faith knows, is confident, is assured that God is present with me. Now, Jesus told us that one day He will return. And we understand that's future, isn't it? It's not present. He said, one day I will return. But the Bible also says, God, Yahweh in the Old Testament says that I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Now, is that past, present, or future? That's present. Now, see, we treat I am the Lord God that healeth thee, well, sometime. No, that's a present. God is a present help in time of trouble. Faith says, I'm healed now. Yeah, but you don't look healed. But faith says the word is near me. God is a present help in time of trouble. Theology says one of these days. See, theology always wants to keep it future. Faith says it's a reality now. You know, I started saying I have a sound mind because of Christ before I had a sound mind. Do you know what I mean? I started changing my thinking, and I knew I wasn't thinking right, but I started declaring, I have a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. And every time a bad thought came through, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, I have the mind of Christ. Not, oh God, I hope one of these days I'll have the mind of Christ. No, I have the mind of Christ. I'm thinking right now. I'm thinking right at this moment. But when I started saying it, I knew I wasn't thinking right. But I knew I needed to think right. So I started confessing, Lord, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Get that thought out of me. I have the mind of Christ. Now, do you think that Jesus ever had a bad thought? Actually, he did. Because he was tempted in every way like you and I are. Amen. See, theology, oh, Jesus could have. No, he had bad thoughts. He had thought, but he had the mind of Christ. Says, that's not who I am. We have bad thoughts and we say, oh, there I go again. Jesus said, that's not who I am. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm the Son of God. I don't think that way. I don't think like the world thinks. But when we're born again, we've been thinking like the world thinks, haven't we? But we start confessing, but I have the mind of Christ. We start thinking, I am saved, I am born again, I am filled with the Holy Spirit, before you really have any understanding about what being born again is all about. I started thanking God. When I got saved, I started thanking God I was saved and he was with me. I didn't even know what the term salvation meant. Even though I was raised in church, I didn't know what it meant. But I knew God had come to me and God had appeared in my room to me and spoken with me. I knew those things, and I started believing that more than all my unbelief and my doubt. See, I'm speaking of things that I may not understand, but I'm speaking of a reality that God is revealing to me. The Bible, Hebrews says it like this, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I start confessing, I have the mind of Christ because it's the evidence of things not seen. I'm confessing, I think properly. I think in the right way, the proper way. Before I started thinking that way, why? Because I knew I needed to think that way. But see, I had faith, I had hope, and so it's the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance of the things I'm hoping for. I'm believing in those things. I may not have them totally yet, but I'm walking in that reality of heaven that God is a present help in time of trouble. This is why Paul wrote, he says, so we are always confident, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm always confident. Why? Because God is with me. I'm always confident that I have the mind of Christ, even when I have a thought that is not Christ-like. But I'm confident I have the mind of Christ because I can throw that thought down. Because I can take dominion over that thought. Therefore, I have the mind of Christ because I know right thinking from wrong thinking. Do you understand that? Why? Because I know God is a present help in time of trouble. I don't say, oh, gee, I'm in trouble. Where's God? I had a bad thought come, where's God? He's left me alone all over again. No, God is a present help in time of trouble. Amen. Now, go to Deuteronomy 31. I'll get there in a little bit. Go to Deuteronomy 31. We've got to understand that faith is more than confident wishing. So many of us, we're wishing for things, but we don't have faith in it. We're not confident in it. We're wishing, please, Lord, let it come to pass, but there's no confidence in it. We have faith, and listen to this, we have faith because of the one who is with us. Faith has got to have in at its basis, God is a present help because he is present with me. If you feel like every time you have to go and get help, that you have to have someone go get God for you, then you don't have a high level of faith. Because you're always looking to somebody to do something for you when God already has done it for you. See, this is sometimes a hard concept to explain. I am saved, and yet I'm being saved. And one day I will be saved. But the present reality is I'm already saved. But one day I'll be saved from this world and I'll go to heaven. And one day when that happens, I will get rid of all my sin, all of my shortcomings, and then you'll all like me. Amen? You understand? It's like, I'm saved because I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm not in heaven yet, so there's a day I will be saved, and my mind is still in the process of being renewed, and one day I'm going to be totally renewed and get rid of all that junk thinking and all those problems and all my issues, and then I will be saved. So it's an ongoing thing, but I don't say, well, one of these days I'm going to be saved. No, I am saved now. One of these days I'm going to be born again. No, I'm already born again. Because I'm born again, I'm already saved. But I don't see the fullness of my salvation yet, but I don't say, well, you know, one of these days I will be saved. Because we've equated salvation with the acceptance and the leading of Jesus Christ in our life. And I'm saved not because of how perfect I am or how good I am, but I'm saved because I have accepted Jesus Christ in my life and I've made him Lord. That's what makes me saved. Knowing that one day Jesus is going to lift me out of this world, either at the rapture or from the grave, but he's going to lift me out of this world when I die, and I'm going to be in heaven with him, and I will be complete in him. But the process has already started. So I am saved. Amen? Well, now, I can say the same thing about I am healed. See, I am healed. Why? Because he's the God that healeth me. So I am healed. And one of these days, I'm going to get complete healing. And then one of these days, I'm going to be in a place where I don't have any difficulty at all. But I am already healed. I'm not waiting till I die to get healed. I'm not waiting till I go to heaven to get healed. I am already healed. And people can look at you and say, yeah, but you don't look healed. Have you ever looked at Christians and say, they don't look saved? Yeah. I have. I'm telling you, I have. You know, yeah, but I, and they always try to convince you, yeah, but I asked Jesus in my heart. Well, I know you did, but I don't know if you're saved because you don't act saved. Yeah, but I'm telling you, I asked Jesus in my heart. I have this. I talk to God and God talks to me. Well, I wish it would show more. But I have to trust that they have a relationship with God, even though they're not walking in it the way that I think they ought to. Amen. So I'm healed, but I may not be walking in it in every way that I ought to walk in it, but I'm healed. It doesn't, see, the Word of God takes precedence over how I feel or how I look. I am healed because the Word says I'm healed. I am healed because Jesus took all of my sins, all my suffering, all my sickness, all my disease on the cross with him. So when I look at my body, I say, I am healed. Not I am going to get healed. Someday my healing bus is going to come around. No, I am healed now. The bus has already arrived. I'm already unloading and opening up the packages. Amen. I am healed now. And every day I'll find out how much more I'm healed. Amen. Just missed a good time to shout there. See, this is how it works. We have faith because of the one who is with us. Because God is a present help in time of trouble, I have faith. Because I know God is present with me in time of trouble, I can praise him. Because thank you, God, you've not abandoned me. Thank you, God, you've not left me. Thank you, Father, you are with me now in this life at this moment, God. Thank you, Jesus. In Genesis, I'm still getting to Deuteronomy 31. Genesis 28, Yahweh tells Jacob, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Isn't that a promise? Wow. Now, what's he telling Jacob? I'm with you. I'm with you. In all of the struggles and all the things, I am with you. Now, did Jacob get everything and see everything in his lifetime that God promised him? No. But Hebrews tells us they received it by faith. And they acted as though it was real. We tease about Abraham. You know, he had his name changed from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. This guy, he's changed his name to Abraham. Who are you? I'm father of many nations. Oh, how many kids do you have? Well, at present, none, but there's one on the way. Oh, Sarah's pregnant. Not yet, but one's on the way. See, because God told him, you will have a son. We didn't go around saying, well, I'm a father of many nations, and I sure hope one of these days something happens. No, I'm a father of many nations. How God does it, I don't know. But God promised. He said, I would be a father of many nations. God is the one who changed his name. Abram didn't say, you know, I'm tired of the spot I'm in, so I'm just going to rename myself. Do you know you have a new name? You have a name that Jesus has named you? Now, when are you going to get that name? Trick question, just so you know. You've already got the name. He's already named you. He's already named you. You've already got the name. You don't know what it is yet, but he's got a name for you. I hope none of us get the name of Ichabod. You know, God departed. No. But there's God has a name for us. Why? Because God is present with us. He is with us. I like this. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. What has God spoken to you? See, God says, I will not leave until it is accomplished. Well, does that mean you will see it in your life? Well, maybe, maybe not. But that's not the issue. The issue is God is with us while he's bringing it to pass. Amen. Are you getting this? Have you found Deuteronomy 31? Go to verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, 6 says, and this is what God is telling Moses to tell Israel. So this is to a whole group of people. You know, you can look at Jacob and say, yeah, God said that to Jacob. But no, here he's saying to a whole group of people. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He's telling Israel, God will always be with you. Say, yeah, but I remember when God was there, or when God punished Israel. Say, yeah, but he was still with them. He was still watching them. He was still there. And even in a lot of these times, these seasons, when God seemed like he had departed, God is still with and doing great works in Israel. Think about Daniel during the 70 years of Babylon. Think about some of the people that held on to the faith for the 430 years in Egypt. God is still there. The Moses baby that the mother put out in the bulrushes to keep from being killed. And God has Pharaoh's daughter come and rescue him, knowing he's a Hebrew, knowing he's wrapped in Hebrew blankets, and takes him to the Pharaoh that has ordered all the kids to be killed and says, Daddy, can I keep it? You know? And Daddy says, you're my daughter. It's a Hebrew. Yeah, you can keep it. Just hide the blanket. You know, and then guess who nursed Moses? Anybody remember? His mother. She went and got Moses' mother. Don't tell me God isn't with them. A present help in time of trouble. This is just not natural the way this thing worked out. All the other male babies got killed for a couple years. Moses survives. Why? Because God had a plan for his life. And God was present with Israel to fulfill his plan at the right time. Amen. Okay, go down to verse 8 in Deuteronomy 31. It says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. Oh, I like that too. He goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Now, doesn't that sound like a lot of like Psalm 46? I'm a present help, or God is a present help in time of trouble. He's present. This is what God is telling Israel. I'm going to be present with you. Even if you feel like I'm not, I'm still present with you. Amen. John 14, 23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home or our dwelling place with him. Now, we've got a better promise than Israel, because God said, I'll make my dwelling place with you as an individual. I'm going to come down and live and inhabit you. Again, Psalm 46, 1, God is a very present help in time of trouble. If you look if you got a Centerline Reference Bible, there's a note on present help, and the definition there is an abundantly available help. Abundantly available. Where is God that who's going to go get him in heaven and bring him down to me? Where is God that someone's going to go down and bring him up from the depths? Oh, no. The word is near me. It's in my mouth and in my heart. The word of faith that we preach. God is a present help in time of trouble. So when you lose that present in there, it's hard to have faith, isn't it? It's hard to trust God if you don't think he's present. If you think you've got to go locate God, say, he's changed his number on me again. I used to have it, but he's changed, and his address has changed. My mail's all getting returned to me. It's hard to have faith in God. It's hard to trust him for help if you don't understand he's present. So we can praise God, he is present. Amen. See, God will help you now. He'll help you this instant. God hears your prayers now. Isn't it amazing that with all the people talking to God, he has time for you if you just talk to him? He never puts you on hold. He never makes you wait. He listens for your prayer. Go to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 17. It says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Isn't that good? I'm showing you it's not just in one or two places in the Bible. You can find it throughout Scripture. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. But verse 20, the Lord preserves all who love him, and all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. See, there we're connecting praise with it. All flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Now, why is he going to praise God? Because God's near to him. See, he's got that confidence. God is near to all those who call upon him because the Lord is righteous in all his ways. God is gracious in all of his ways. This is what faith believes. This is how faith begins to talk. When you begin to believe God, my God's with me. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. You know, you said that if you ever got in a fight on the playground. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. Well, our God's bigger than the God of this world. Amen. And we can say it. Well, you know, some people tell you, I've had this, don't say that because the devil will get on you and jump on you. Wait a minute. I just said my daddy's bigger than your daddy. Now, is my faith in my daddy or your daddy? You think the devil's big enough to jump on us and beat us up? Well, he'll jump on you. He may try to beat you up, but my daddy's still bigger than him. My daddy can take him down in a heartbeat. Amen. I don't have to live under the oppression of the enemy because I got a big God, and my God is able, and he is willing, amen, to rescue me and save me and deliver me and to bring me out of many, many waters. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we got to begin to learn how faith talks. And part of that, the way that faith talks, is praising God that he's present. I tell people when they first get born again, I said, just start thanking God that you're born again. But I don't feel born again. Just begin to thank him. You know, those who begin to thank God and praise God, thank you, Lord, I'm born again. Thank you, God, I'm born again. Thank you, God, I have a new spirit. Thank you, God, I have a new heart. Thank you, God, I've got new eyes. Thank you, God, I can see things differently. Lord, thank you that you are with me. You've gotten rid of all my sin and all my problems. And Lord, I thank you that you're with me. The people that will do that get set free. The people that say, well, I just can't get myself to say that because I don't feel that way. Well, that's why you say it, because you don't feel that way, isn't it? I mean, if you go around the house and say, boy, I'm depressed. Are you going to break the depression? No, you just get more depressed. Why? Because you're convincing yourself how depressed you are. Boy, I don't know anybody as depressed as I've been. I'm really depressed. I tell you, the sky, God's even hiding the sunshine today. I mean, it's just, man, it's a depressing day. And boy, there's nothing on TV. No one's called me on the phone. Nobody wants anything to do with me. I'm just depressed. Man, you just talk yourself into it. But when you're depressed, you know, if you go and put on some happy music, that'll help you lift up a little bit. But if you start talking to yourself, Lord, I thank you I'm free of depression. Lord, I thank you I'm filled with the joy of God. And it's like, well, how can I say I'm filled with the joy of God? Well, begin to thank him. Remember, one of the scriptures we've been talking about is forget not, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I mean, the way that you get joy back into you is start confessing his benefits. Thank you, God, I'm born again. Thank you, God, I'm not going to hell. Thank you, God, I'm going to heaven. Thank you, God, you brought me into the family. Thank you, God, my sins are forgiven. Thank you, God, I have a new mind. Thank you, God, I've got a new body. You're healing me all the time. Your glory is with me. You cannot stay depressed talking like that. You cannot. You cannot stay depressed if you're talking in faith about what God is doing. Just begin. Get out your list. We used to do this with couples, and we couldn't get any couple to do it. Seriously, we couldn't get a couple to do it. We're on the verge of divorce, and we want you to help us. Make out a list of 10 things you like about your spouse. Go over them at least once a day and thank God for these good benefits. The people, we've never had anybody do it. They refuse to do it. And pretty soon, they're separated. Because they won't do it. It's like, you know, if you don't thank God for His goodness, pretty soon your heart gets cold. Pretty soon it just kind of grows over, and pretty soon you're just a nominal Christian. Just caught up in the ways of the world. Why? Because you refuse to acknowledge all His benefits. And then you say, well, I don't know why God left me. He didn't move. He's still at your side. He's still calling you. I talked to somebody the other day that hasn't been in church for years, and they said, Gordon, God is dealing with my heart. God has been calling me. Well, do you think I'm going to say, well, you ugly old sinner, you shouldn't come back to church because you've been, you know, I know what you've been doing in your life. No, it's like God's dealing with them. God's calling them. Now, if God's calling them, what am I going to do? Accept them. Why? Because God will take care of all the other stuff. I couldn't take care of it anyway. I'm not smart enough, and I don't have the ability to clean up what needs to be cleaned up. So I got out of the job of trying to clean fish, because only God can do that job, and He does it right, and He does it thoroughly. Amen. But I've got to begin to confess God is near me. He is a present help in time of trouble. I've got to begin to lift up all the benefits of God, and when I do that, I find I'm praising God. After a little while, I think, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I know Jesus says don't be like the hypocrites who say, thank you, God, that I'm not like everybody else. But sometimes that's where you've got to start. Thank you, God, I'm not like everybody else. Thank you, God, I'm not like this person. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And then you can begin to move over, if you do it right, begin with the right heart. You begin to move over. Thank you, God, you've rescued me. God, you've saved me. You've delivered me. You've set me free. Thank you, God, you give me a sound mind. Thank you, God, you are working with me. Your glory follows me all everywhere I go. And nothing but blessing and mercy is after me. See, you've got to begin to confess it. You've got to begin to believe and get this root, this core, this foundation, that this is how faith talks. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He says, if we'll draw near to God, God will draw near to us. Well, if I accept the Bible as being true, then the I have got to start drawing near to God. I've got to start confessing who He is in my life. I've got to start confessing what God has done for me, that He's delivered me, He's set me free. I've got to start saying these things, because as I say them, God begins to show up. And I don't think it's that God is far away from you, but I think he's trying to get the point across. If we will draw near to God, God will magnify Himself and increase in us, and we'll begin to see the effects of God with us. But I've got to start, instead of telling God, well, God, you better show up and do something or I'm leaving. Well, be it to you according to your faith. Now, if I say that, God's probably just going to sit back and say, wait a minute, I'm not your servant. I told you come to me, not you tell me what I ought to do for you. See, there's a difference in that. And when you begin to draw near to God purposefully, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you you're with me. God, I don't understand everything. I don't know sometimes a whole lot. But God, I thank you that you're near me. I thank you, God. You said you'd never leave me or forsake me. I thank you, Father. Now, I got a surprise this week, because as I was studying, I was looking up the scripture, I will never leave you or forsake you. I have always heard that in my mind, whether people said it or not, but I've always heard it. That's what Jesus said. And I've quoted it, I think. If you go back in my old sermons, I've quoted Jesus said He'll never leave you or forsake you. Did you know Jesus didn't say that? It's mentioned one time in the Old Testament, Hebrews, I think, 3:15. Or in the New Testament, in Hebrews 3:15, He says, as God told us, He'll never leave us or forsake us. And I'm thinking, I kept thinking, this had to be in John. I mean, because John talks so personal about Jesus. I I look like this because I was pulling all the hair out of my head, and I thought, Lord, where is this? You know, and he told me it's in several places in the Old Testament. God, we read them. God told Moses, tell Israel. God told Moses himself personally about it. God told Jacob. God told Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I thought, this is old covenant. We ought to be establishing this because we've got a better covenant than they. And God told them, those ugly sinners in the Old Testament, told them, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And if he's going to be that close with them, oh, I've got a better covenant. In Jesus' name, I've got a better covenant. And I am not going to forsake him, and I am not going to go away. I'm going to stay close and abide with him so he'll never leave me or forsake me. So I don't have to go through those dry spells, amen? He says, if there's sin in your life, repent. Or as they say in today's language, make a lifestyle correction. You know, if there's a sin in your life, change how you live. Get it right. If you're double-minded, if you never know what God's going to do, purify your heart. Get your head on straight. God is a present help in time of trouble. Again, Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Isn't that great? Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. In other words, God is present with you, but if you don't recognize him, he can't do anything for you. If you don't acknowledge him in your praise, if you don't acknowledge him being with you, God can't do anything because you're not looking to him. You're not putting a demand on him, as some would say. You're not living in faith with him that he's going to do anything, because your thinking is, God is so far away from me. Or with sin, and this is a big thing about sin. Oh, I've really blown it. God will never talk to me again. Where do you find that in the scripture? He says, call on my name. I will not refuse anyone who comes to me. Wow. That sure sounds a lot different than, boy, I've really blown it. God will never talk to me again. See, it's like, how do you know that you've blown it unless God tells you? Seriously. How do you know you've blown it with God if God hasn't told you? And if God's told you, he's talking to you. If he's talking to you, you can have faith and repent. Why? Because it's the leading of the Spirit of God. See, when in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah sees God on his throne, I love this section. He says he sees God in all of his glory. And he just sees the magnificence of God. And he falls down, and you don't know what he says? Lord, I'm a sinner. See, when he saw the glory of God, he began to realize how small he was. He began to understand, Lord, I thought I was doing pretty good. I mean, I'm a prophet of God. I've been prophesying, but God, I've seen you now. Lord, I'm nothing. Forgive me, God. And in order to make him feel right, he had an angel take a coal from the altar and put it on Isaiah's mouth. He said, because he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He purified Isaiah's lips. And the next thing that Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. See, that's the response of faith. You've got to see God in his glory. When you do, you understand that how small you are and all the things you've done wrong. But God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. He makes us free again. He makes us able to do what God wants us to do. In Matthew 11:28, this is all familiar to us. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why do we praise Yahweh? He's a present help in time of trouble. He never leaves us. And he gives us both comfort and strength. He is a present help in time of trouble. Amen. Let's stand up. Did you get something out of this? See, we need to come to God. First order of business, we need to come to him. And the Bible says we approach him with praise and thanksgiving. And that you know, when we worship God and we start our singing, you know, we need to let the words reverberate on the inside of us. We need to let them speak out of us. We need to make whatever song that we're singing, make it an original song from our heart. That's drawing nigh to God. It's just, God, I thank you. You know, sometimes you say, well, I don't have a very good voice. That's okay, you don't have to sing. But you should be back there saying, Lord, I thank you, that's true about me. I'm entering into your courts. I'm entering into your gates. Lord, I'm coming before you, God. Oh, Father God, I praise you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. See, to begin to give him thanksgiving, to begin to offer up to God praise, that is faith. That is faith. Lord, I thank you. You are the Lord thy God that healeth me. I thank you, Jesus, that you've saved me, God. I thank you, Father, you've cleansed me because I've confessed my sins, God. And Lord, you've cleansed me of all unrighteousness, God, and all ungodliness. I thank you, Father, you set us free, God. You've called us to be your sons and your daughters, oh God. And Lord, I thank you that your face is toward us, God. I thank you, God, that you speak to us and you lead us and you guide us into all of the things of God that you have for us. I thank you, God, that you're present. I thank you, God, you are with us this very instant. I thank you, Father, God, that you hear our cries. You know our needs, and you've already made provision. So we thank you, Father, that we're saved, that we're born again. We thank you, Father, we are the healed. We thank you, we are the redeemed. We are those who have sound minds, God. We thank you, God, we are sound and whole, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you, God, that you are quickening our mortal flesh by your spirit. God, that you are creating in us a right heart toward you, God. I thank you, Father, that you dwell within us. You live and move and have your being in us, God. And I thank you, God, you strengthen us. You strengthen us, God. You give us wisdom and insight and understanding, God. And Lord, I thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for your great love, your great power, God. But Lord, I thank you for who you are. Because when I understand who you are and know that you are with us, I am never in lack. I am never in lack. I am never without understanding and wisdom. And Lord, I praise you for this. You so loved us, God, that you've given yourself to us, God. And we praise you and we worship you for this, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. I believe it. I believe it. God bless you. Hallelujah.